It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. I hope you had a tremendous Tuesday. I really do. Thank you so much for listening. I'm very thankful tonight, as I am every night. I'm being joined by a great producer. His name is Jack Starr. And I'm being joined by you, everybody listening all over North America. So whether you're tuned in on the free Odyssey app, your local affiliate, you could be listening on SiriusXM 158 or a smart speaker, thank you very much. Coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm just having a good old time. I'll be here with you for the next 3 hours. We get started every single weeknight, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific. If you want to talk to us, the phone number is 855-212-4CBS. You can always pick up the phone. If you don't want to call, shoot me a holler. I'm on social media. That's JR Sport Brief. SportBrief. I can spell a little bit. Anyway, if you missed the first hour of the show, it was hate-filled. Not because of anything I said. Not because anything that was said to me. But it was hate-filled. We talked about Lamar Jackson as the franchise tag period has pretty much opened in the NFL right now. Some people still find issue with Lamar Jackson. I know last night someone called and told me he was a quitter on the Ravens. His new offensive coordinator was introduced today. His name is Todd Monken. He showed a lot of love to Lamar Jackson. And at least we had a little bit of love in the first hour. And then we had a whole lot of hate because for whatever reason, LeSean McCoy, he can't get over the fact that Eric Bieniemy pretty much probably told him, hey, man, you're old and you suck. And so as we continue on with the show here, there's a lot more to get into. Maybe it'll be an even conversation. Steve Cohen, the owner of the New York Mets, is challenging the economics of baseball. Baseball is still, what else is new? They have to figure out how to make things even. So the Pittsburgh Pirates can actually be a competitive organization, but how do you do that with a crap owner? And Steve Cohen willing to spend the whole world, and, you know, Nutting is willing to do nothing. Shohei Ohtani and his future. A.J. Brown never wants to leave the side of Jalen Hurts. We'll get more into the franchise tag. Lonzo Ball looks done. He looks cooked. Oh, man, how about this? In a few minutes, we're going to talk about the Hawks. Shout-outs to all my friends with the Atlanta Hawks. My apologies in advance. The Hawks fired Nate McMillan. You know who got the blame, right? Some guy named Trey. We'll talk about that and look into their future. If you missed last hour, this was so crazy. This, I want to play for you an example of something that you should not do to a former employer or former teammate or former boss or former coach. Don't do what LeSean McCoy did. Talking about Eric Bieniemy, this is what LeSean McCoy had to say earlier today on Fox.
What's his value? What makes him a good offensive coordinator? See, the problem is a lot of these people that go on social media, oh, he should be the guy for the job. They haven't played there. They're not in the locker room. I've been in the rooms where he's coaching, and he has nothing to do with the pass game at all, right? When the plays are designed, that's Andy Reid. When you talk about offensive coordinators, I can tell you what makes Brian Daboll with the Giants a very, very good coordinator. I can tell you what Andy Reid or Doug Peterson. But when I ask about Eric Bieniemy, what makes him good? When we watch the film or practices and we correct the wide receivers, the running backs, the quarterbacks, he doesn't talk in there. Andy Reid talks in there. He may say things to the running back because he's an ex-running back coach. I get that. But he has no real responsibility. Now you go from the Chiefs, where you can hide behind Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid. Then you go to the Washington, where you got to call plays. You got to run the meetings. You got to run the installs.
What else is LeSean McCoy doing but talking crap? Nothing? Find a hobby. You got to find something to do. And so let's finish up with LeSean McCoy. That's enough of that guy. The man has literally been retired now since 2021. It feels longer than that. And he's just crapping on Eric Bieniemy because he's just holding a grudge. It's a hard knock life. And now I get to go into someone else who, well, this is not a grudge. Nobody's holding a grudge here. To the shock and the surprise of absolutely no one here in Atlanta, Georgia, Nate McMillan is no longer the head coach of the Atlanta Hawks. I was at the Hawks game, their final game before they went on break. It was against the New York Knicks. This game was embarrassing. The Atlanta Hawks did not show up. The Atlanta Hawks did not lead. It seemed like they were down 20 points right out of the gate, and the New York Knicks basically beat them from pillar to post. The Atlanta Hawks looked cooked. A couple of nights before, the Atlanta Hawks took on just a moribund franchise. They took on the Charlotte Hornets. Michael Jordan did not hop in a time machine and get on the court. But somehow, some way, the Atlanta Hawks let the Hornets and the Knicks put up about 144, 148 points each. What is that? I watched it up close and personal with my own eyes. There was no defense. There was no offense. I saw another Hawks game a few weeks ago. It came down to an inbounds pass. Yeah, Trae Young, the smallest dude, Nate McMillan did the smallest dude on the court, inbounding the basketball at the end of the game with a giant in front of him. I think that was also against the Hornets. I think it was Plumlee. Poor Trae Young couldn't inbound the ball. Everybody's going, what is this? Just let the kid in the first row inbound the basketball instead. And so Nate McMillan is gone. He replaced Lloyd Pierce a couple of seasons ago. These Atlanta Hawks, they went right to the Eastern Conference Finals. No one at the time wanted to understand or at least take in that injuries played a major factor in them getting there, but they did. And they haven't been able to maintain that since. Lloyd Pierce is gone. Nate McMillan is now gone. Trae Young is still here on a new contract. DeJounte Murray is here. He has a year left on his deal following this season. They've been trying to move John Collins forever. Landry Fields is the new president of basketball operations. Sharpshooter Kyle Korver. And these are great guys, great human beings, by the way. Had a chance to speak with them about a month ago after they got the job. These are great dudes. They're not stupid guys. They may not have experience, but they're not stupid. And this is all just a disaster. And at least they're starting to put their mark on the franchise. I thought Nate McMillan would have got the boot at the end of the year, but they decided to pull the plug today. Right as the Atlanta Hawks get ready for practice. After they were decimated, annihilated, embarrassed, eviscerated by the New York Knicks, Nate McMillan and Trae Young were basically ready for vacation. This is what Nate McMillan had to say after the game. He said, oh, yeah, we need some time to take off. We need some time to recharge and relax. This is what Nate McMillan said.
I think everybody just need to take some time. And mentally, physically recharge. And, you know, as I said to them, we can't practice until Wednesday, but our gym will be open for guys to come in and do something on Tuesday. And you don't want to lose everything that you have on this break, sit around and not do anything. You need to do something.
Yep, tomorrow would be Wednesday when the Atlanta Hawks can go back to practice. And Joe Prunty, who has been a staff member for the Spurs and a million other teams, will now take over for the Hawks on an interim basis. They weren't going to fire Nate McMillan. like right before the All-Star game, were they? They didn't want to do that. You wanted to wait. They'll be back in action on Friday. I'm going to stop by that game. Maybe I'll see a difference. Maybe the Hawks will show a little bit more life. Maybe they'll have more energy. Nate McMillan talking about how the Hawks needed to recharge. He won't be around to see or lead it. It was only about a month ago, a little more than a month ago, where I think December, Trae Young and Nate McMillan didn't see eye to eye. Nate McMillan wanted Trae Young to play and come off the bench or choose one. Trae Young didn't even show up to work. We're getting all types of stories about how Trae Young now is just aloof. We're getting stories about how Trae Young is taking private planes back from playoff losses. And when you hear Trae Young speak publicly, the media is starting to kick his ass. And he had a tense press conference about a month ago with a reporter who never shows up. And people are in his grill. It's like we could have had Luka, but we got you. The fans here in Atlanta, they're not as effusive. The fan base as a whole is not as effusive. It's not as enthusiastic about Trae Young as when he first got here. It's like the new car smell is no longer new. And now he's going to be moving on to a third coach with these stories out, with his big contract secured, and the Atlanta Hawks sitting around with a record of 29-30. No, this ain't a good look for Trae Young. After that same ass-whooping against the Knicks, Trae Young sat in his press conference, and he pretty much said the same thing. He's like, yeah, we need a break.
We definitely need a break. I mean, it's good that, I mean, it's time's coming now. And I think a lot of teams in the league, I mean, it happens around this time of year. And unfortunately, we're one of those teams that kind of need this break. But we're going to come back, and I got faith in our team. I got trust in our team that we can make a special run. So, no matter who doubts us or whatever, I got faith in my teammates.
Oh, he has faith in his teammates, not the coach. Not the coach, the team, his teammates specifically. Not the coach who's now been fired. This is the issue with the Atlanta Hawks. Who are they? Trae Young, his numbers are nice. Yeah, 26-10, they're real nice, but the man wasn't voted an all-star because the team is, they're not winning anything. They're not winners, that's it. Unfortunately, Trae Young is not efficient this season. 42% from the field overall. 32% from three. He ain't shooting that much any less than he has been in the past, in all honesty. Has his role adjusted with DeJounte Murray? Oh, yeah, it has. DeJounte Murray, his numbers are down. He almost averaged a triple-double last year, almost 20-10-10. He's like 29-9. This year, his numbers are down, closer to 25-5, 26-6. These are two guards who operate with the basketball, but they don't have a system to play together. Nate McMillan has tried to stagger their numbers, and Trae Young is not just being vilified in New York. He's starting to be painted as a little bit of a villain here in Atlanta. He's not the problem. Well, he's not the only problem. This isn't a roster that's built to win. This is a roster that can max out if everybody is healthy, which has never been the case. The Atlanta Hawks have a roster that can go into the playoffs, win a round or two, and be eliminated. If Bogdanovich is your depth off the bench, you don't got nothing. John Collins can't get a touch of the basketball right now. You're paying this guy all this money. He's a 2010 type dude, and man, what happened to all them lobs and passes? He's not going to go out there and generate offense for himself at every chance and opportunity, but well, damn. At least throw him something. Throw him a bone. DeAndre Hunter is who he is. When I see Capella play, I go, oh, he's nice. He's playing. Between him and Okongwu, I go, oh, nice, great, they're playing. Ain't doing nothing. Block shots, defense, putbacks, dunks. The Hawks need depth. They were actually a better team when they had some guy named Kevin Huerter on the squad who could actually shoot and spread the floor. The Hawks don't have an identity. They got a bunch of players running around and they don't know what to do. There's not going to be a difference or a change with the Hawks until they get different players that come in. And with Trae Young, is he mainly at fault? I would not say that, no. Publicly, and I don't know what he does privately or what he says, if the stories are true, it doesn't sound like he's doing a good job privately, he can be more assertive and straightforward in how he explains himself. He's just real relaxed, real chill, real cool. Well, we'll just go play better next time. Oh, we need vacation. He doesn't exert publicly a leadership quality. And maybe that's not in his personality. I can tell you this much. Shooting 42% from the field and having a down year ain't going to help them either. Playing alongside DeJounte Murray ain't going to help him either. And running around getting a third coach, it might be Quinn Snyder, it might be Ime Udoka, who knows? The Atlanta Hawks need a coach that will come in. And I'm sorry, LeSean McCoy. They need a coach that's going to come in and get in everybody's ass. Because they have no identity. They don't play defense. The offense is not clear. There is no offense. And the Hawks are just a disaster right now. And it's a shame. The fans basically were sold and bought fool's gold when they went to the Eastern Conference Finals, but nothing about that was sustainable. And now you got a new team with DeJounte Murray here. And then he can basically bounce and walk at the end of next season. And then what's left? A disgruntled Trae Young? A fan base that is disenchanted with Trae Young? This does not look like it is going to end well. Let's see who they ultimately hire as a full-time head coach. But the Hawks ain't getting no new players. Expect for them to maybe get into the playoffs and get bounced, have an interesting offseason, and be prepared for more hate, whether it's justified or not, to go Trae Young's way. Yeah, welcome to Atlanta indeed. It's not looking good right now. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. Unfortunately, Nate McMillan isn't the only person gone from the NBA this season. There's a guy who plays for the Bulls. He's cooked too. I'll tell you about it. I'll get to your calls. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. The phone lines are open. That's 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. The Atlanta Hawks get rid of their head coach, Nate McMillan. Joe Prunty, the assistant, is going to take over. It's been reported that they're already looking at someone who at one point was already on their staff as an assistant, Quinn Snyder, who decided to step down as head coach of the Utah Jazz last summer. And the Hawks have various issues, many issues. Coaching was one issue. Leadership from a player's perspective, publicly I'd say with Trae Young, was and is an issue. Offensive identity is an issue, bringing in DeJounte Murray. Depth, player depth is an issue. Dexterity with the roster is an issue. Injuries is an issue. Unfortunately, I can go on and on. Defense. They got a lot of problems. And so Landry Fields, who runs the team, and you know, Kyle Korver helping out as well as the assistant general manager, they're going to start to try to put their imprint on this team in addition to the owner, Tony Ressler, who is right there with them. I don't think they're running around with full autonomy and full confidence to just go do every and anything that they want. Not too many GMs do. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. Unfortunately, someone else who you will not see the rest of the season, and this is in Chicago, this really sucks. It's Lonzo Ball. Lonzo Ball is not going to be playing basketball this year either for the Chicago Bulls. We haven't seen this man play in more than a calendar year at this point in time. He's had two surgeries on his left knee. And it's official. The Bulls say that he's done. He's cooked. The Chicago Bulls, if you thought the Hawks were bad, the Bulls are 26-33. And Lonzo had to have another surgery on his knee. He had a surgery right before the season started. And 4 months ago, he was talking to NBC in Chicago, talking to the public, and he was describing how he couldn't do a damn thing. Listen to this.
I literally, like, I really can't run. So, can't run or jump. So, there's like a range from like 30 to 60 degrees when my knee is bent that I have like no force and I can't like, you know, catch myself. So, until I can do those things, you know, I can't play. So, I did rehab. It was getting better, but it was not to a point where I can get out there and actually go out there and run at, you know, full speed or jump. So, surgery is the next step. This is definitely something I've never dealt with. Even the doctors are a little, you know, surprised about it a little bit, but we're all working together to figure this thing out.
Lonzo Ball had trouble going up the steps. He felt pain going up the steps. I can relate. I had knee issues in high school playing sports. I had pain going up the steps. Thank God I haven't felt that pain in forever. But damn, he's a professional athlete. He's getting the best of the best of the best of care. Lonzo Ball is a good player, too. He's a great point guard. He actually plays defense. He's a very good shooter. He's not out there just hunting for shots. And you got a Chicago Bulls team that has Vucevic, DeMar DeRozan, and Zach LaVine. And you want to talk about a team that doesn't have an identity. I mean, what are the Chicago Bulls doing? Nothing. Just floating around into the abyss. Chicago Bulls, they deserve better. Maybe they can bring back Eddie Curry and Tyson Chandler. Maybe that'll help out. Hell no. They're on a 6-game losing streak. Like, I don't know who's worse, the Bulls or the Hawks. And now they brought in Patrick Beverley? Like, this is a disaster to do what? The Bulls actually are bringing in Patrick Beverley to be an irritant? Is he supposed to spark the team? He looked like a dud out with the Los Angeles Lakers. And now Patrick Beverley is saying, oh, yeah, when the Bulls play the Lakers in a little while, I hope that I can help knock them out. Man, worry about the Bulls. Worry about your own career because it looks like it's on life support right now unless you're running your yap. Patrick Beverley actually sat down on his own podcast and he let everybody know, yeah, me being a free agent, my decision came down between the Warriors and the Bulls. Listen.
It was between Golden State and the Bulls. Obviously, you know, it's always good to play with a lot of great talent in Golden State, but, you know, a lot of guards over there, you know. So I figured, you know, I can make a playoff push with the Bulls right now and kind of, you know, pump them up a little bit. The East kind of weak. I'm excited.
Pump them up to what? The Bulls are in 11th place. What is he going to pump them up to? He can go pick up donuts for the plane. I don't know. What is he doing? Patrick Beverley pumping the Bulls up? Man, they suck. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. Stan is here from Portland. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call, JR, man. I stumbled onto you this year. I started working at night a little bit. And I discovered AM radio, the talk radio from CBS Sports. Wow. Never knew what was out there, man. And I want to thank you for that. And To the Eric Bieniemy thing, just real quickly, you know, I know what's going on, right? I think you probably touched on it, but yeah, there's some sour grapes, and there's some concern about how much authority he was given in the Chiefs, and he's quietly going about his business, going under Ron Rivera, if he's still the coach over there at Washington, and they're going to teach him the next level and the next step. He probably already knows it, and is probably more than qualified, which I agree, beyond a shadow. Look at everybody who's behind him. And, you know, I just think that he's just humble, and he's going to go and say, all right, let me take the next step. You know,
it'll be fun to see what takes place with the rest of his career. We know he's been kind of passed over for every job. People are talking about how he interviews. You got one guy, one former player who's opening up his mouth against him. All the other players are pretty much defending him, past and present. It's a peculiar story. So he's going to be in Washington. We know it's not going to be the best of talent, and we just have to wait. Hey, Stan, I appreciate you, man.
Thanks, guys.
No doubt about it. And I love Portland, by the way. I do. I was in Portland, January, December, right before Christmas. Oh, I love it out there. 855-212-4CBS. Ted is here from Atlanta, Georgia. You're on the JR Sport Reef Show. What's up, Ted?
Well, you know, JR, I have to wonder whether Nate McMillan really had anybody on his staff who could be the bad guy to his good guy. Because, you know, you had all these guys running around. There's no real system going on. I don't think they're really being held accountable. Like, why in the world, as you said, why in the world did not be set up to get the ball in John Collins' hands more? I mean, Collins should have been up like 25, 26 points a game by this time.
No, I wouldn't go that far. He pretty much barely cracked 20. But now he's down to probably around 13-ish points a game.
I understand that.
Yeah,
I understand that totally. But sometimes, like I say, you got to have an assistant who's willing to really get after the players. Maybe he had too many nice guys on his staff who are just like him. And I'm not saying Nate's a bad guy. He probably doesn't kick the neighbor's dog or anything. But sometimes you get the player's attention more as an odd guy when you really go off on him a few times.
Well, it appears that Nate McMillan did that with Trae Young. And Trae Young, if you remember, in December, decided not to show up to the arena at all. Let's also keep in mind that Nate McMillan was a replacement for Lloyd Pierce. Nate McMillan was just pretty much put on the bench just in case Lloyd Pierce and Trae Young got sick of each other, and that's ultimately what happened, and Nate McMillan took over. And now the next guy down the bench is taking over for Nate McMillan. And what are we supposed to do? You going to have a good cop, bad cop? Nate McMillan was supposed to be the enforcer. He's supposed to be the taskmaster here. Unfortunately, there was no offense. It doesn't matter who you are or what you do. If the players don't want to listen or they want to play, you're cooked. It's a players' league. We know that already. If the Hawks could move some players around, I'm sure that they would do that. But you want to know the easiest thing to do? Move the coach. See if the players will react differently to a different voice. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. I'm going to take more of your calls here. I don't know who the hell is worse. Is it the Bulls? Is it the Hawks? Who's in a worse position? We're going to spend some time getting back to the NFL with the franchise tag and free agency. It is the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. We've done so much talking about Nate McMillan being fired and just Eric Bieniemy can't catch a break from LeSean McCoy. We've talked about Lamar Jackson. When we get to the top of the hour, I want to spend more time discussing some of the other players who would potentially get the franchise tag. There's so much uncertainty right now at this point of the season, and we're only a little more than a week removed from the Super Bowl. It's crazy how the NFL just kind of keeps everybody just on their toes, especially when it comes to player movement. They've done an amazing job keeping the league relevant year-round. 855-212-4CBS. I'm going to get to the phone lines momentarily. I do need to let you know this. The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. You can learn more at NavyFederal.org. And that Player of the Week happens to be Kevin McCullough Jr., who represents Kansas. 15 points, 2 blocks, 7 defensive rebounds. Kansas knocking off TCU last night, 63-58. Let's go ahead and hit the phone lines and see who might be defensive here. Let's start off. Clifton calling from Baltimore. You're on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Clifton?
Good evening, everyone, especially to you, JR. I just want to touch bases on a few things in reference to the Ravens. The fans want to be able to point a finger at Lamar, but when you point one finger at someone, you got three of them pointing back at you, in which they should start with the general manager because he didn't want to pay Orlando Brown that money as far as being left tackle, traded him to Kansas City. They picked up Villanueva from Pittsburgh and paid him $8 million to be a turnstile. Harbaugh should have paid Lamar Jackson a percentage of his contract because that MVP season 2019 saved Harbaugh's job because he was on his way out. But the sad thing about it, they have not developed Lamar Jackson, and that's what they should have done from day one. So last season, Lamar hired his own quarterback coach, but the revenue that he brings into that region should help them to sign him a large contract, not no $250 million contract, but something that is acceptable. Because if they franchise him, then he should talk to Kirk Cousins because he's the all-star of franchise tags. That's all I have to say, Gerald. Thank you for allowing me to talk, and everyone have a wonderful morning.
Oh, thank you so much, Clifton, for calling from Baltimore. What a polite caller. Absolutely, I love him. I'm not disputing that. He said it in a longer way. The offensive line has deteriorated over the past several seasons. Ain't no lie about that. Vlad is here from Chicago. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Vlad?
Happy Jason Tatum Tuesday, my brother.
Yeah, to you as well. What's up?
Hey, man. I want to talk to you about Derek Carr and how I don't think he's going to go to the Jets, JR. He seems to struggle in cold weather, and I think he's going to go to Tampa Bay. What do you think about that, if that's happening?
Oh, my God. Well, his brother pretty much already said this is going to be a ridiculously long journey. Like, they're not going to make a decision. They're not going to wake up and decide where he's going to go. They're going to take their time out there. I don't know where Derek Carr is going. You got the Carolina Panthers who've pretty much said, listen, we don't know what the hell we're doing at quarterback. There are quite a few teams who have no idea what they're going to be doing at QB. You know, matter of fact, when we get to the top of the hour, I want to share with you some comments made by Jim Caldwell. He is now an assistant, and he's not working specifically for offense or defense or special teams. He's going to be assisting Frank Reich. And so both Jim Caldwell and Frank Reich, they both spoke to the media today talking about the possibilities for the Carolina Panthers on offense, on defense, what they do at QB. To your point, is Derek Carr going to be a part of that, or is he going to have to go to Tampa? Is he going to the Saints? Is he going to the Jets? We know this much. The New York Jets ain't making no damn move on Derek Carr until they know what Aaron Rodgers is going to do. Hey, Jack, did Aaron Rodgers, is he done with his darkness retreat yet? Yeah, it should be done, right?
No, he actually isn't done with his darkness retreat, at least according to my inside sources that are on the retreat with him. No, I'm obviously kidding about that. But the retreat, if I'm not mistaken, lasts 7 days. So given that it's only been 4 or 5, he still has to be on the retreat, right?
Oh, well, that would be a week. I thought he was only going to be gone for 4.
Maybe it is 4 days, but knowing Aaron Rodgers, maybe he took an extra 72 hours just to be spiritual, yeah. Excuse me.
So what is he going to do? He's going to wake up, look at his phone and go, oh man, I need to leave the Packers. That's probably how that's going to work, right?
I thought no electronics were allowed.
Yeah, but eventually he has to get back to his phone, right? He has to pick it up.
I don't know. I kind of envision a situation, JR, where he hands his phone over to some, like, crazy guy who runs these tours that has a man bun that's been on 4 or 5 different darkness retreats, and at the end he's allowed to retrieve it. That's kind of what I think is going on.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. He's going to exit out of – is he in a room? Is he, like, in a room with 5 people? Is he in a room by himself? Like, what?
No, I think Aaron Rodgers is kind of a loner. He's 39 years old and single. He seems like the type of guy who survives better as a lone wolf.
Okay. Yeah. But whenever he comes out of that, he's going to – who knows what he wants to do? It's whatever. It's Aaron Rodgers. He's an interesting fellow, to say the least. Daniel is here from Chicago. You're on the JR Sport Re-Show. What's up, Daniel?
Hey, JR. How are you?
I'm amazing, Daniel. How's the Uber driving going this evening?
I can't believe it. This is where's Jeff? It's not directing today. It's not the executive producer because I never stayed longer like this. I've been staying since 9 o'clock.
Well, damn. You could blame me, man. I'm doing a lot of talking.
Yeah, not you, because the guy that was doing it doesn't know this is the Uber driver. You know, just give me the time to talk to my friend.
Oh my God! Well, no, Dan, yeah. you could blame me. Are you trying to have beef with Jack?
Yes.
Oh no, you can't have beef with Jack. No, don't do that. don't do that. Have beef with me instead.
When I said Daniel, he said Uber driver. I put you on hold. Then he's gonna get me. But this guy didn't know me yet.
Okay. Well, Daniel, you can blame me. Okay. Blame me. Leave Jack out of it. But now you're here. What's on your mind?
Okay, what I'm trying to say is like Justin Fields, we're going to keep him. I don't know if you know about the draft for North Carolina.
Who? What about North Carolina? The Tar Heels?
North Carolina. They got a good pick for us. If the Bears can pick, if the Bears can trade with North Carolina, it's going to be really good because you got this first draft for this year and the first draft for next year, too, which is really good.
Wait. Help me out here. Are you telling me, you're telling me the Bears are going to keep Fields? Are you telling me they're trying to replace him with a QB from Carolina? What are you saying?
No. They're going to keep Justin Fields.
Okay.
And we're going to trade down. Hopefully, they can trade down with North Carolina because
the Panthers.
North Carolina. Yeah, the Panthers. They got
I'm like North Carolina. I'm thinking North Carolina football. I'm like, well, okay.
Oh, no. The Panthers, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they got the best. So I hope the Bears can go for that.
To the number 9 spot?
Yep.
And then do what with it?
Do what with – they're going to give us first round 23. They're going to give us first round 24.
Okay.
And they're going to give us a second round 24.
Okay. You have inside information here, Daniel, huh? Okay, that's fine. I mean, Carolina Panthers, they need a quarter. We just talking about them. They need a QB. They don't know what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Daniel. I appreciate you, man. How many rides have you done today?
Oh, today I got about 25.
25 rides. And when are you going to finish up?
I'm getting to finish. I'm waiting for you so that you can call me so I can go home.
Oh, my God. You were waiting on me?
Yeah, so they can call me so I can talk to you before I go home.
Okay. Well, now we've spoken, so now go home and count your money, okay?
That's what I'm going to do.
Okay. Thank you, Daniel, for calling from Chicago.
Okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you. He's going to count all his Uber money. Hey, Jack, don't worry about Daniel. He calls and he drives the Uber. He calls me with people in the – he calls me with passengers. So.
He's just an unruly Uber driver. I've had a number of them. My track record with Uber drivers recently has not been very good. Not because I've done anything wrong, but I've been kicked out of multiple Ubers recently for being excessively annoying and not being able to keep my mouth shut. Like, I just start socializing with some of these guys – and they give me these dirty looks telling me they don't want to talk to me. They'd never say that. And I just keep talking and telling them my life story. And on consecutive rides recently, Uber drivers have pulled over to the side of the road and forced me to get out, and I've had to walk to my final destination. I walked across the Brooklyn Bridge at 3 o'clock in the morning the other night because of my loud mouth.
That's dangerous. That's dangerous, Jack. You got to be careful out here. And Daniel is a nice Uber driver. He's like a 5.0 Uber driver. Uber Gold, or Uber whatever it is. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Shout outs to the Uber drivers out there getting money. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about these quarterbacks in Carolina. It's a wild world here. CBS Sports Radio.